I want to read just a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I want you to listen real close as we read, because as we try to read to you, we try our best to share things that might help you. In the first chapter of the book of Esther, at the 10th verse, on the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zetha, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shetha, Adamatha, Tarshish, Miras, Marsena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, which set the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For the deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deeds of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. The king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the words of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people, after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women. And let their things for purification be given them, and let the maidens which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together in the Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai. keeper of the women. And the maidens pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purification of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house in the evening. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shahashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegea, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Notice in the early reading, we read here that it said that she did not obey the commandment of the king. That was her problem. She was a great person, had a great personality. She had obtained a great place and great favor. But one thing she failed to do was to obey the commandments of the king. You know, the Bible tells us that God brought Israel out of Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of people he brought out of Egypt. The Bible said when they come out of Egypt that God was not well pleased with them, for many of them turned back into Egypt in their heart. And God therefore was angry, and the Bible said he slew thousands of them in one day, all because he was not pleased with them. The reason was, is they would not obey the commandment of the king. See, the thing that caused Vashti to lose out in the kingdom was because she did not obey the king. You know, women are a type of the church. And God specifically points out in his word that the wife ought to obey the husband in all things, that she should honor him in all things, and that she should be subject unto him and have great reverence and great respect for him. And when she doesn't do that, then it displeases God. God is greatly displeased because it shows a harlot church that will not obey the husband and has given herself to do evil. And God despises anything that brings to his remembrance harlotry. Anything that brings to God's remembrance harlotry or the wickedness of the fall in the garden, it really upsets God. That's why the Lord brought to pass the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. The Bible said offering up the blood of goats and bulls and lambs, that it constantly reminded God of the sin of his people. And God just got tired of the same sin coming up in his mind all the time. And he decided to do away with it. Now, if you was married to a woman and that woman had done wickedly, and you forgive that woman, you'd want to put that thing out of your mind from now on, wouldn't you? You'd want to start a new world. And you'd want to come together with her and put all of that in the past, and you wouldn't want any more remembrance of it. The same way with a woman with a man. Wouldn't want any more remembrance of it. Want to forget about that. But see, if that companion kept bringing it up, after a while you get tired of it. Isn't that right? And so then God doesn't want a continual remembrance of sin brought before him. That is why that I'm always telling you that what you need to do is really live for God. See, every time that you do wrong, every time that you do evil, you bring back to God's remembrance the thing that he has taken out of your life by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it displeases God. God wants us to repent of our sins, confess our sins, and move away from our sins. God is expecting me to do the very best that I know how to do. He wants me to do the very best that I know how to do. If I do not do the very best that I know how to do, then God is displeased with me. See, Vashti, she did not want to honor the king. The king said she's a beautiful woman. I suppose that he probably was sitting there drinking, and he might have been drunk. But nevertheless, she was his husband. Is that right? Or wife. Is that right? She was the wife. And whether he was drunk or whether he wasn't drunk, he still called for her. She should have come. Is that right? Now, she was a beautiful woman. And no doubt he was sitting there drinking and got to thinking about how beautiful his wife was and wanted to show her off. She should have come on over. That's right. That's the way I feel about it. See, because she belonged to him. Now, if she'd have been a Christian, it'd been a different thing. But there's no record where Vashti was a Christian. Just out of her pride, she felt like it was a lot of foolishness, and she wasn't going out there to be shown off. No doubt she felt like she was pretty enough without him showing her off. But you know, I'd like for Christ to show me off, wouldn't you? Amen. I take what, he can call for me anytime he gets ready. It doesn't matter. Morning, noon, night, anytime. I'll be glad to come. Hallelujah. She wouldn't obey the king's command. A lot of times God, in the middle of the night, he'll take it and he'll shake it. He'll say, get up, Brother Taylor. Get up, Brother Taylor. You want me up, Lord? I want to show you off, Brother Taylor. You need to spend about 3 hours in prayer with me tonight so I can show you off day after tomorrow. Hallelujah. The Bible said, pray in secret that God might reward you openly. Hallelujah. That others might see the good things of God in your life and glorify Christ in your life. See, and the king's commandment said, Vashti, I want to see you. But she said, no. No. So God got angry. God got upset. He prepared the hearts of those men. The Bible said the preparation of men's heart is from God. God prepared those men's heart to find fault. See, those was wise men. Now they looked at King Ahasuerus and they said, listen. Said, we know that she's the first lady. She's the first lady. And if this foolishness goes on with her, that we won't even be able to get along with our wives. They were wise fellers. Don't you think so? I tell you what, if we'd be a little wiser than Jimmy Carter and the first lady up yonder, if we'd have taken care of Jackie Kennedy back yonder and some of the others, the world wouldn't be in a mess like it is now. Amen. If we'd have just all got together and said we want this mess straightened out, she's the first lady. And our ladies are going to follow it. Then we'd have got the thing straightened out. We wouldn't have the television full of pedal pushes and shorts and all of these other kind of things. See, we'd have kept the first lady straight, everything would have been straight. Is that right? Hallelujah. How do you know that we're the first lady in God's sight? If we stay straight, the world will stay straight. But if we get out of sorts, then we're going to have a bad time out there. The church is all out of sorts. They look at the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, and they see them decking out the way they're doing and see them dressing and acting the way that they're acting, and they know that that religious woman is the first lady, and that makes the world just do anyway. But I'll tell you what, if we'll dress like a lady, that is spiritually speaking, and do the king's commandment and obey God and be ready at God's commandment and God's word, God will show us off to the world and we'll get the world straightened out. We'll bring in a millennium age to where the first lady can set as the queen, and God will make everybody do obeisance to her, and everybody will want to dress like the first lady. Come on now. Did you know that even here at Bethlehem,
This very day, Sister Betty took a dress over here to Ponderosa to one of the black women over there. One of the black women over there, a young black woman, she kept coming around seeing those long dresses, and she just couldn't bear it until she asked all about it, and she wanted one of them. And I know you can't give everybody dresses, I realize that. But Sister Beachy worked hard, and Betty and different ones got together, and they made her a beautiful long dress. And they sent it over there to her. Now, I don't know what her reaction will be. We'll get to see a little bit later. She'll be out there serving the tables. But she wanted one of those long dresses. Now, why is that? Because she had seen my wife in there with the long dresses on. She had seen your wife in there with the long dresses on. Something got a hold of her. She began to see something. See, when the world sees the right thing, they'll follow the right thing. They'll follow the right thing. But until they can see something, they're not going to follow anything. Did you know that the world would have followed the Jewish people if it hadn't been a bunch of hypocrites? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Paul said, you play the hypocrite. But if the Jewish people had stood as a nation and loved God and honored God and kept God's commandments, the whole world would have followed them. Because God was with them. God was with them. The Bible tells us that when they crossed the Jordan and they got into Canaan land over there, God said, the whole world will be afraid of you. Said, because of the wisdom that you're going to have. Said, they'll see the wisdom that you've got, the way your government operates, the way you do things, the way I reveal myself to you to tell you the right way to do things and the way you prosper. And said, the entire world will be afraid of you. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it would work in that day, it'll work in this day. If we walk upright before God, God will make us the head, not the tail. He said, Israel, you've not kept the king's commandment, and I made you the tail when I would have made you the head. Paul said, you have the commandments, and none of you keep them. He said, the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you hypocritical Jews. That's right. You love Jesus? Don't you like it plain and straight? Somebody say, can't you say it a little easier? That's the way it reads. That's the way it is. You know, when we tell people the truth and tell people like it is, everything will be all right. The Jews had some kind of feeling that they were special before God. They said, now we're special. You're a bunch of dogs and we're special. But they found out that God is no respected person. Paul come along preaching and said, you're not a Jew. There's no such thing as a Jew, Paul said. Unless it's a spiritual Jew. God has no specialties. All of you sin comes short of the glory of God. We're just one big bunch of peas in the same pod. Whether you're a black man, a red man, a yellow man, a Jew, a German, Japanese, whatever you are, it's all the same with God. It's all the same with God. We don't need to be pious because we was born to Caucasian. Is that right? I might be Caucasian, but that don't make me nothing special. You might be a black man, but that don't make you nothing special. You might be a Jew, but that don't make you nothing special. And you might be an Indian, but that don't mean that everybody's got to take care of you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God expects us to have manhood about us and get up and do something. God don't expect us to loaf from place to place, run from pillar to post, and let our wives and children go hungry and try to leech off of somebody or con somebody out of something. He expects us to take care of our own load. The Bible said, let every man bear his own burden, not somebody else. If I run from pillar to post and I'm always hitchhiking, I have to ride in another man's car and he has to pay for the gas. I need to get straightened out. God isn't sending me out like that. If God sends me, he'll take care of me. God will take care of me. He'll provide for me. Somebody said, well, I ain't worried about it. I can get a biscuit. God will take care of the biscuit for your wife too. And the biscuit for your baby too. Amen. The light bill for your wife too. And the light bill for your baby too. That's right. Somebody said, well, I don't see that. Paul just stored away. The Bible said he lived in his own hired house for 2 years. Amen. He paid his way. Paul said, I've labored with my hands to help pave the way to show you an example. God provides. Being called in the ministry don't mean you quit work. Saying that you're Christian don't mean you're deadbeat. And have to live off everybody else. Now, how do we get on that subject? All of us in the gospel, ain't it? Hallelujah. By not obeying the king's commandment, we always get in trouble. God said, labor that you might have to give. Pay your just and honest debts. Let's do what the king tells us. Let's love the Lord. Provide for your family. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel. Hallelujah. Brother, when we begin to paint the picture just exactly the color God wants it, all of the hypocrites and the devils and the demons will begin to show up. And we'll know where they're living and we'll know what's what. But as long as we call black, white, and white, black, and say we don't know, it'll always be a mess. Like I told Brother Ted the other day, he and I were talking. I said, Brother Ted, don't smooth over nothing. Don't butter up nothing. If a man's acting like the devil, he's of the devil. I said, just tell it like it is. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I said, if we butter it up and smooth it open, make it look good, I said, we'll have the people so confused they won't know what to do. They'll say, well, if I touch this one, I'll touch the Lord's anointing. And you'll have them all scared to death. But glory to God, if a man acts like a devil, just say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's what he is. The Bible said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. That's the way Ahasuerus saw it when those wise men indoctrinated him and they said, look here. Said, if that woman don't do right, we're all in trouble, king. Now you might love her, she might be dear to you, but you better start doing a little thinking here because you're going to have a problem in the kingdom. You get all them women on your head and you get all them ruling and the men can't run things and you're really going to have a tore up kingdom around here. King Ahasuerus stalled over and thought, well, there must be another good looking woman somewhere. So he just sent after that and said, she's pretty, but just put her out. We'll incorporate something else in the kingdom. That's the way they done it back there, you know, 6 or 7 at one time. And so then he done something to protect his kingdom. The reason is because he was a wise king. He did something and God stood with him. And God overthrew his enemies. And God done something for him because he did that. If God would do that for a man like Ahasuerus, what would God do for a son of God? If we stand up with a backbone and love God and love God's people and tell it just exactly like it is, God will straighten things out. We'll have a good place at little Bethlehem. We'll have a good government out there. As long as Jimmy Carter stays up there and whitewashes everything and soft soaps everything and makes thousands of promises to get people's favor, we're never going to do anything. What a president needs to do is stand up and say, I'm running for the president. I ain't going to do this and I ain't going to do that. If I can do this, I will do it. But I ain't going to lie to you. If I get in there, I'll do what I can do. And then when he gets in there, he'll do the best he can. You run from pillar to post out here, spend thousands of dollars. Say, just let me in there, I'll do this. Just let me in there and I'll do that. And they know when they're saying it, it's a bunch of lies. And a lot of them, when they get in there, they can't do the things they promised because you got to go through a Congress. You can't just tell everybody what you're going to do. Anybody that knows anything about presidency ought to know before they start promising they got to go through Congress. President can't just do any way he wants to. Isn't that right? So then, where our problem is we've not obeyed the king's commandment. What we need to do is obey the king's commandment. When the president of the United States start obeying the king's commandment, everything will be all right. When we start obeying the king's commandment, everything will be all right. As long as we realize that powers in this world are ordained of God and we've got to be subject to those powers, God will take care of us. The Bible said be subject to the higher powers. There's no power except to be ordained of God. Why should you get upset with the sheriff just because he's carrying out his duty? Why should you get upset with the policeman when he comes out here and tells you that he's got a lien on your place, you got to pay your bill? God said obey him. God set him up there. It's your job to do it, friend. It's my job to be a light. It's my job to obey. The only time we're supposed to cut across the police or cut across the sheriffs or anybody else is when they pass rules that's in violation of God's word. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where God's people ever violated the laws of the land except in the times of Daniel and in the times of the Hebrew children and in such times when they cut across God's word. Even down in Babylon. And we consider Babylon to be one of the worst places. Today, if I told you that you could have a job in Babylon, you wouldn't take it, would you? But Daniel took it. And Daniel run his office right. And Daniel stood up for the right thing. The Hebrew children took the job. Isn't that right? That means that out here in this world you can do right. You can run your job right. You can obey the laws of the land. Pay your bills and be a decent person. You stand up and be a testimony for Christ. Somebody said, I just don't know what I'm going to do, Brother Pike. I got so spiritual I just can't work anymore. You got so devilish you can't work anymore. Getting spiritual don't stop people from working. Getting devilish stops people from working. Amen. When you get spiritual, you really want to do something. Uh-oh, I know I'm done something. I can see people scrambling around. I know I must have went down the wrong trail in their behalf somewhere or another. Is that right? I tell you right now, God will make a worker out of him. God will take a lazy man and turn him into a worker. That's right. I said, Adam, I got something for you to do. Not just sit around all the time. I want you to dress the garden out here. Hallelujah. Praise God. From the first time that man fell from the garden, God said, you'll make your living by the sweat of your brow. Somebody said, well, what about you? It's flowing. If you can see it. Amen. I sweat up here all the time. Alright. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's glorious to obey the King's commandment. Vashti lost a crown. A lot of people lose their crown because they won't let go and serve God. They won't really get in and say, Lord, take me and use me. They're not looking for a job. They don't want to do anything for God. They want to obey the King's commandment. They've got something they've got to do. Now, you say, well, what have you got to do? They say, well, I've got to build my ministry. God isn't interested in your ministry. God's interested in His Word. He didn't say the man I sent will build a ministry. He said the man that I send will speak God's Word. You know, we got the idea we've got to have a motor home. I got one. Got to have a Cadillac. I got one. We got to have a church. I got one. Got to have all of these great things to be a preacher. And I'm a preacher. That's wonderful, isn't it? God will give them all to you. But see, that wasn't what I was looking for when I started out. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Amen, that's right. I was looking for souls. I went looking for souls. I went to tell people about God's Word. You don't read where Elijah ever had a Cadillac, do you? Somebody said, you're getting in trouble now. You don't read where he ever had a motorhome, do you? You don't read where he ever had a big church. But he still took God's Word. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, that show makes you look bad as a prophet. But David had a palace. David had the finest of chariots. David had plenty of gold and silver, but he still was a prophet. See, it don't mean how little you got or how much you got, whether or not you're a prophet. It depends on whether or not you got thus saith the Lord. You got God's Word. You got Jesus in your heart. And folks, when you got that, you got everything. And if you ain't got that, you don't have nothing. I tell you what, when you get what I got in my heart, it don't matter. They can give you a bucket of gold and it won't mean nothing to you. You'll thank God for it to be able to reach the lost. You'll thank God for the conveniences, but it won't mean nothing to you. You get something down in your heart that's so much greater than that that you feel like that's second fiddle in the world. You feel like there ain't nothing to that. You're just interested in what you found in God. I've spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours just separated from the world, thinking about Jesus. I've had my wife and the children. They said, well, let's go to town. Maybe to buy this and maybe to buy that. Whereas today we did go to town. And I say, let's buy this and let's buy that. Let's go to town once in a while. You know, children like to go to town. And I'd be in my room praying. And I'd think, well, J.C. Penney's, Rich's, Kmart. Whew, I done been through all that stuff. Ain't nothing up there but a bunch of junk. I'd lay there in 15 minutes, I'd go through all of them stores. And be coming out the front door. I think, my dear God, there ain't nothing there but a bunch of junk. You go in there looking for a bunch of 10-cent tinklets here and there and everywhere. Why, you done been through it dozens of times. And I think, my, that makes me tired. Just let me stay in my room and talk to Jesus. This is exciting. That's right. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. That gone for weeks and months and years. Hallelujah. Because I found something new in Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I go to the store, you know, and I go in about 15 minutes. I say, let's go, Betty. And the children, you know, they're bouncing balls and blowing horns and pushing cars, you know. And they'll say, Nettie, you just get what you want, and that's all. Well, sometimes it's like that. But most of the time, Daddy don't get anything. I just go in, and I'm tired. I want to get out of there. It vexes me. Does it vex you? I go in there, and it vexes me. I think, Lord, let me get back around the brethren. Let me get back to Bethlehem. Let me get back in my room. Let me get back to prayer. Let me get back to where I feel peace and feel relaxed. And I feel whole and healthy again. I want to be holy. I want to be clean. I want to be just. I want to feel clean in my heart. I want to feel like I'm doing something for God. Have you got just a few more minutes? It's like a man had come up out of another state a few days ago, just a day or two back. And I was talking to him and I was telling him some things in his heart, telling him how different things was and what was going on. And it really shocked him because he didn't believe I really knew. And I was telling him some things, you know, and he was telling me how that everything was so bad in the church where he was at, you know, and how that we had to get to where we could preach life and that there just wasn't no life in the preaching and whatever. And I told him, I said, I don't want to hurt you. I said, I love you. I believe you're a fine man. I said, but that ain't the way it is at all. I said, ain't nothing wrong with the church. I said, that ain't it. I said, what it is, I said, there's something wrong with you. And of course, that kind of shook him up just a little bit. You know, you start telling people what's wrong with them, and that'll shake them up. Now, they'll blame it on the beast, they'll blame it on the Eve, and they'll blame it on the garden, anything, you know, on the trees. But you start talking about them, that's a different subject altogether. And I said, that's where the problem is. I said, you know what's happened? I said, the Lord makes me to know that you've done something. You've got up here where you thought too much of yourself and you stepped out too far and you've said some things and done some things and it didn't pan out right. I said, and the thing didn't come to pass right. I said, and you've done these things and now you feel like you blasphemed against God and that you feel cut off from God. I said, and you've lost the respect of your family. I said, God lets me know that you've lost the respect of your family. And I said, because of that, when you get up to preach, you don't feel the anointing and you don't feel the inspiration. I said, because you feel a distance between you and God because of condemnation. I said, and you don't feel any life in your preaching. And I said, that's where the trouble is. I said, you just can't believe because of the condemnation. He said, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's the way he said it. I said, that's exactly right. See, what it is, we say we're not preaching life. Brother, these words are life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. And when you preach God's word, there's bound to be some life in it. When a man takes hold of this word right here and starts talking about it, and there ain't no life around, there's something wrong with that man. That's right. There's something wrong with that man. Because this book is full of sparks. It's full of fire. Paul called it a quickening spirit. This thing is full of fire. You start messing with fire and you're going to get burned. Did you know that? The Bible said God is a consuming fire and God is the Word. And you start messing with hot coals and it's like a hot potato. You ever had a hot potato in your hand, couldn't keep it in one or the other? Get you a piece of hot ice. When I was a little boy, we'd run the ice cream wagon down, you know. He'd have some hot ice and he'd throw a little piece over there. And we'd grab it because we wanted it. But when we got it, we wish we hadn't got it. You ever done that? That stuff will burn you and stick and take the meat off your hands. That's the way it is messing with the Word of God. When you say you are a preacher, you better be sure you're a preacher. If God ever drops the Word over there, you'll wish you was a preacher. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. God put some preachers through some things He don't put other folks through. Did you know that? He's got an optical course for them that's pretty strong. And you get to going down through that a little bit and you say, wait a minute, whatever made me think I was a preacher? That's right, you will. You start going through some of that training and you say, Lord, I'm just a layman. Like that fellow over there, God started processing him. He said, I'm undone, Lord. I'm undone. That's right. The Lord said, we take care of it. Here's a few coals of fire and dropped them on his lips, you know. And that made a lot of difference. He was ready to do something. God will burn the chaff out of you. Brother, when you're going to tell others how to live, you better be living right. When you got a message for somebody else, you better believe it. You better practice it. You better stand by it. If you're going to tell somebody something, you better know something about it. If you're going to be a professor, if you're going out here to teach college, you better be a professor. If you're going to be a professor, you better know something about professing. Did you know that? Amen. If you're going to be a, Reagan ought to say that too. A possessor, you ought to know something about possessing. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm excited. Why are you so excited, Brother Pike? I stay excited. I love the Word of God. I love what God said. I see something happen. Something great and outstanding is taking place. And I just can't get over it. I can't get over it. It's so wonderful, so real. Vashti lost the crown. Why'd she lose it? Because she wouldn't keep the king's commandment. There's been numbers of people down through the years. They lost a crown. God had set them in a high place. But they lost a crown for one reason. And that is they would not keep the king's commandment. Solomon over there said, be sure to keep the commandment of the king, didn't he? Be sure you keep the commandment of the king. Whatever you do, you keep the commandment of the king. The king's matter requires haste. If the king tells you to get over here and weld some beams, you do it quick. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Amen. I said, God's work requires haste. When God tells you to dig a ditch, if you dig a ditch, you start digging. Amen. Don't wait till a convenient time. If God's made you the keeper of the trees, you plant them just as fast as you can. Amen. Don't wait. If God calls for your service, you do it, and you do it quick, because His commandment, His business requires haste. Be sure that you don't break the king's commandment. Solomon said the best thing that you can do in life, out of having riches, out of having wives, out of having kingdoms and all these things, he said, I sum the whole matter up in one thing, to fear God and to keep God's commandments. That's what we're supposed to do. Fear God and keep the king's commandment. So then Vashti lost out. But did you know you don't find any record where Esther ever done like Vashti? Somebody said, well, I favor Vashti. Isn't that right? I favor Vashti. After all, he might have been pitching a drunken party. But whether he did or whether he did not, when the queen, who was a Christian, came into the presence of the king and she was made queen, she never did do like that. Isn't that right? He loved her. It don't matter whether he drank or what he done. Nevertheless, she stayed in her place and she gave a great testimony that the book of Esther's written of. Right here. See, by obeying God, she pleased the king. By obeying God, she became beautiful before the king. And I remember the occasion where she had to go into the presence of the king to save all of the Jews. When all that terrible crisis hit, and everything was out of place, and they was about to kill out all the Jews. And there was Esther in the presence of them. Mordecai said, Esther, I tell you something. Said, you better remember God put you up here for a purpose. You know, that's what we need to do. See, here's Esther. She's up here. She's doing real good. She's got a crown. She's the queen. Has to be careful now. She don't want to lose the favor of the king like Vashti did. She don't want to lose the crown. But Mordecai said, you can be too careful, Esther. When it comes to God's business, you want to put Ahasuerus on the spot. When it comes to God's business, you want to put God first. God put you up there and took Vashti down. Said, how do you know what God done it right here at this particular time to save the life of the Jews, to save your people? And sure enough, that's why he did it. See, God has got a purpose. If God makes you a president, God's got a purpose. If God makes you a governor, God's got a purpose. If God puts you over the province like he did Daniel and make you the third ruler in the kingdom, God's got a purpose. When you get up there, you don't want to forget that purpose either. Did you know that? You don't want to forget that purpose. If God elevates you and God gives you a good business and God gives you plenty of money, God's got a purpose. And if you forget God, God will do away with your money and God will do away with your business and God will bring you back down where you should have been to start with. Is that right? For somebody ought to have been up there that knows how to handle God's business. Somebody say, I love the Lord. I believe I kind of got out of bounds again then. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't mind sharing, but after all, I want something for myself. Well, you can have something for yourself after that you give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you got anything left, you can have it. Everything you have left over. After you do the way the little widow done and give everything you got, lock, stock, and barrel, whatever's left, you can have it. Said, well, there won't be nothing left. She had something left. You say, what did she have left? She had faith in God. She had more than she started with. She had enough to refill her barrel over and over and over to where it never did run out no more. Ain't that wonderful? To know that God is with his people and God is helping us. That means everything. To obey the king's commandment. To walk in the king's way. To walk in the king's line. To just do exactly what he says and be in a hurry to do it. When you got something to do for God, if it's here at Little Bethlehem, you hurry and get over there and do it. Don't wait 2 or 3 years like some of you've done. God will take it away from you. I just made a statement today. Keep asking somebody to do something, and the time is about run out on it. The thing I ask them to do, the time's about run out and may have already run out. And I got to have the thing done. And I told somebody today, I said, I'm just going to have to bypass them and go and get it done myself. And I said, when I do, I know it's going to hurt them. Because when God does that, that means you lose your crown. Vashti lost a crown. The Bible said, hold fast lest someone take your crown. They can take your crown. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, take my crown? If you're not careful, someone will take your crown of life and leave you out in the cold. There is somebody looking for your crown. And there's somebody that'll move right in and get that crown and leave you out in the cold, and you won't have a crown, and you won't know nothing about it till it's all done happen. I'm going to have to do whatever there is to be done, because I keep asking the individual to do it, and they won't do it. So then God gives you a chance to do something, and then you get greedy. Then you get sticky hands. Then you just can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? You'll get greedy hands. God will give you $50,000 and give you a chance to share with God, but you get greedy. And you'll say, Lord, wait till I get through counting my pennies, and if I have any left over, I'll give you some of it. God don't want that. I've said this a lot of times. God don't need your money. If you've got $50,000, God doesn't need it. And if you take one penny out before you take God's out, you better not give it to God, because He don't want it. If you take one tiny penny away from the $50,000 to use for yourself before you give God the first fruits, God don't want the rest of it. You can throw it out the window as far as God's concerned. Because God can manufacture money. He can make it float down out of the heavens. He don't need that. All the gold is His, and the silver, the trees, and everything else that you buy with money, He's got it all to begin with. So He don't need that. You understand what I'm saying? God said the first fruits. God wants your prayer life, the first fruits. He wants your fasting life, the first fruits. He wants you to study God's Word to begin with and then read books later, if you're going to read any books. God wants you to come to church first and then go vacation. If you have time, a visit with your relatives or your grandmother or bury your dead father, whatever it is. Come to church first, take God's way first. Don't leave off the house of God to go visit with your parents. Don't leave off in the house of God to go make an extra dollar to fix your car. Do something for Jesus Christ first. And God will bless everything you do. And if you don't do it first, God won't bless you in anything. Praise the Lord. That's really getting down close to home. Somebody said, well, I got to wash my clothes sometimes. That's all right. That's all right. Got to fix my car sometimes. That's all right. Just be sure you take care of God's first. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now you say, Brother Pike, you can't do that. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Somebody said, well, I'm going to take care of my family first. God said, take care of my family first. Provide for the household of faith, Jesus said. First, provide for God, and then provide for your household. I said, I'm going to provide for my wife and my babies regardless. See, the widow didn't take that attitude. God said, give me the provisions. Then I'll provide for you. Is that right? Come on now, let's get down to home base. The widow gave the man of God all that she had. But it was her provision for a household. Some old greedy person said, my, you be careful how you spend that money. Like somebody sat long back here the other night. Right back there about where Lewis is sitting now. He sat back there and I was preaching away. And after service they took an offering and the man was under conviction. He pulled out some money and put it into the offering. And my daughter was sitting back there and she heard that woman say, what'd you do that for? Said, go get the car and let's go. Sure. You say the people don't come to church like that. Yes, they do. We got some of them sitting here right now. If you'll get close enough to them, you can hear them. They might kick the husband on the leg or pinch him or whatever, but they'll get the message over. That's right. Let him get a 10 and she thinks he ought to give a 5. Watch her kick him or pinch him. Nudge him with her arm. And if she don't do that, when they get home, I'll guarantee you they'll show get together. Have an understanding. And the next time that boy comes to church, he'll know how to give any offering. I'm telling you like it is. Hallelujah. But Jesus can do away with that. Hallelujah. And put Vashti out of the camp and give you another one. Amen. That'll be willing to work with God. As I said, do you believe in double marriage? No, I really don't. I really don't believe in double marriage. I believe in marrying just one time. He said, well, that's all I married. No, I believe in marrying the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about all the rest. Amen. Just one time. Just a one woman man, or one man woman. Is that right? Just marry one time. Marry Jesus and let that be it. That's the way I do. I love my wife. I love my wife, but I'm married to Jesus first. What he tells me, that I do. What she tells me, that I consider. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. All right, so then he said, they said, Ahasuerus, you better do something. Said, the whole kingdom's about to get out of sauce. If that woman gets away with what she done, we're all ruined. We're all ruined. Now you can tell by that the devil's always used the weaker vessel. Now can't you? See how scared them men was? If it had been a lion turned loose in the kingdom, it wouldn't bother them that much. But when that woman got turned loose, they said, man, we better do something and do something fast. That's right. Now, if you had a half a dozen lions out there, it wouldn't be too much to worry about, but you better do something. You turn all them women loose, and I'll tell you, we are in trouble. You just take what here at Little Bethlehem, if we turned all these women loose right here. You're talking about trouble. You never seen trouble in your life like we'd have at Little Bethlehem. But I tell you what, if we keep praying, they'll stay under subjection. That's right. If we'll keep praying, they'll stay under subjection. Now, you can't take a ball bat, and you can't take, you know, being Lord over God's heritage and get out there and say, now, little woman, you shut your mouth. I'm the head of the family. She ain't going to pay a bit of attention to that. And if you press the issue, you might have wished you hadn't. That's right. There's some of them, if you press the issue too tight, they explode. That's right. I've seen them literally break things over men's head. I've seen them explode and just reach and get the nearby thing, if it's a lamp or whatever, and you hear the crash and the crumble. That's right, of the man and the lamp. I've seen that. I've been present when it happened. So you don't want to press them too far. But I tell you what, if you pray to God, if you talk to God, if you love the Lord, then you'll love your wife. And she'll have the fear of God, and she won't do those things. She'll be afraid to do those things. Now, she's not afraid to do it to me and you, but she's afraid to do it to Jesus. That's right. See, it's not your wife doing it anyway. It's the devil. That little woman wouldn't hurt you for nothing. She loves you. But you let the devil get in her, and she wouldn't care if she killed you. I've seen good women that were the best women that ever walked the earth that wouldn't say nothing mean and let the devil get a hold of them. They say, I could kill you. That's right. Have you ever heard that? Now, you act like I'm the only one who ever heard it. Yeah, you got a wife. That's what it is. All right. So then they said, Vashti has to be put out of the kingdom. We got to do something. It's a bad situation. And all because they didn't keep the king's commandment. Brothers and sisters, the one thing I want to do at Bethlehem, and that's keep the king's commandment. I'm glad that I got a wife that'll help me keep the king's commandment. It's like Sister Betty told me today, was riding down the road. She said, well, there's one thing that you can't say, and that is that I haven't tried to work with you in being a Christian and stay with you and try to do what's right so that you could serve God with in freedom of heart. Well, I can't, see. She really did. She really does. I thank the Lord for that. Now, we got a lot of other points of disagreement, but right there we get along all right. And the others I don't mess with much, just when I have to. All right, you love Jesus? Bible said, follow peace with all men. Hallelujah. So let's be peacemakers. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate you bearing with me. I know I take too long sometimes. But just a little exhortation once in a while to let you know the importance of going on with God and keeping the commandments of the Lord. Regardless to the approach that God uses to exhort you, there's one thing that he's trying to instill within you, and that is the commandments of the Lord bring life. And to keep the commandments of the Lord is to love life. And he that loveth life, the Bible said, he will keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Let's get together and let God show us all. You know, if everybody would take the outlook, Lord, I'm going to go on a fast so God can show me off. I'm going to go, I don't mean worldly now, carnally, I mean spiritually. And Lord, I'm going to pray so you can show me off. Lord, I'm going to give $1,000 in the offering so you can show me off. Amen. It's right. Like Brother Toby, I believe he came and gave 500 yesterday, was it? I'm gonna do something outstanding for God. I'm just going to do something outstanding for God. Amen. That's right. If we had that kind of outlook every day, think how wonderful it would be. Just think how wonderful it would be. If we just had that outlook. Did you know they go to build a college and they go to build a hospital and they go to build a school out here? Some millionaire sitting back over there thumbing his thousands. He'll say, well, I'm going to die after a while. Somebody's going to get all these thousands. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give about 50,000 of them, get them to put my name in that rock, that cornerstone out there. And then everybody will remember me from now on. Isn't that right? The Bible said their desire is that their name live forever. Right on. So I think while I'm living, I think I'll give a 500,000 of this over here so that everybody will praise me. They'll say, Dr. Jones put 500,000 into that building. He got the biggest part of that project. But let God go to build a house. And everybody say, let Toby do it. Sure. Say, he ain't done nothing. Let him do it. But you know, a lot of times when we check up, we haven't done as much as we think we have. You ever thought about that? I tell you what, a lot of times I check up and I find out I'm running way short in what I should have done. So then I don't feel like somebody else ought to do it. I feel like that I ought to get in there and do it myself. Now, I got a lot of things I'd like for a lot of people to do because you got a lot of things you need a lot of folks. And everybody has got some ability and can do it. But if they don't do it, somebody's got to do it. And if they don't do it, then that somebody could be you or me. And of course, at Bethlehem, it's me. If it don't get done, I got to do it. I'm thankful to God that I still got some doers. The Bible said, be doers of the words and not hearers only. I still got a few doers. I still got a few that'll bend their back and take the load. I still got a few that's willing to be under a little tension and under a little pressure and under a little nerve-wracking situation to be able to take my hand and say, Brother Pike, I'll stand with you. Yeah, I still got a few. I ain't got a lot of them, but I got a few. All right. So then let's keep the king's commandment, and then we'll be happy. We'll be happy. Now, I stumble and stagger when I'm trying to preach. Sometimes, you know, if you step till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then if you try to get in a word or two with Jesus after that, sometimes, you know, you don't go just exactly right up here. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes this wants to go while this is supposed to go, and it get all crossed up. I was going to sleep just a little bit this evening, and I lay down in there, and just about the time I went to close my eyes, Betty was doing something, and it bothered me, and I saw she couldn't do it, so I just got up and done it. When I got up and done it, I thought, well, I'm wide awake, I might as well to eat something before I go to sleep. So I eat something, I went back, I thought, well, there ain't no need to go to sleep, what you need to do is pray. So I started praying, and the doorbell rang, and something said, what you need to do is not pray, you need to go see who this is at the door. So I thought, well, if I do that, I know I won't get to pray. But nevertheless, I felt like God had sent somebody there that I need to talk to. And sure enough, I went and there they were. And I talked to them. But you know, it makes it a little rough sometimes. But I tell you what, we can be happy folks. If we'll serve God, we can be happy folks. All right, let's sing a little song together, can we? Now, I wouldn't drink so much water. But honestly, you just don't know how it's pouring out. Somebody said the other day, they were sitting back there and they must have real good eyes. But they said that, I raised my arm and said it was streaming down. And that's true, it really does. It really does. I get soaking wet. Just soaking wet. Let's sing a little chorus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, they that wait upon my Lord
shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait.